ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Texts 13 through 17. The title of the chapter is Akrura's Arrival in Vrindavan. So since there are 5 slokas, all of them are very valuable, though only the last one has a very small purport. We can chant the slokas together and discuss some of the major points of each sloka, and then go on to the next and the next. So text 13. We can all chant together. Sachavatirna kila sattvatanvaye. Svase tu pala maravarya sharmakrit. Yasho vitanvan vraja asta ishvaro. Gayanti devayat ashesha mangalam. Are the word for word there? I would like to go through the word for words because every word is so important. Saha, he. Saha. He. Cha. And. Avatirna. Having descended. Kila. Indeed. Sattvata. Of the sattvatas. Anvaye. In the dynasty. Sva, his own. Setu, codes of religion. Pala, who maintain. Amaravarya, of the chief demigods. Sharma, delight. Krit, creating. Yashaha, his fame. Vitanvan, spreading. Vraje, in Vraja. Aste, is present. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Lord. Gayanti, sing. Devaha, the demigods. Yat, of which fame. Ashesha Mangalam, all auspicious. Translation. That same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Sattvatas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song and which brings auspiciousness to all. So just a short explanation of some of the terms in this translation. The dynasty of the Sattvatas. So we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Yadu dynasty was begun from the very early, from the son of Yayati. Yadu already knew that from his dynasty the Supreme Lord would be appearing. And coming down, we can read in the 9th chapter the whole list of the generations coming from Yadu. And then finally, Vrishni, he appeared. He had 2 sons, Svafalka, who was a saintly Muni, and Chitrata. And Svafalka had Akrura as his son, along with 12 other sons, who were all devotees of the Lord. And they all lived in Dwarka with the Supreme Lord and helped him. For instance, when Salva came and attacked Dwarka, they were all present there. So amongst the Yadu clan, There were many different families coming from different fathers and forefathers. And the Satvatas, they came from one of the forefathers, Satvata. And they were, some say they were Kshatriyas, some say they were Vaishyas. The point is they were devotees of the Supreme Lord. And this was the dynasty into which Sri Krishna took his appearance. Now, there are many different theories and philosophies about present day. For instance, we have here in UP the very powerful Yadavas. They're still trying to rule the land. So there's another theory. I'll just mention these things because Prabhupada, he doesn't keep these histories in the past. He brings things up to the present so that we can understand them in our daily life. So some anthropologists, they say that Yadu, nowadays we have Jew. So actually, the Yadus are the Jews, and that's why they're considered the chosen people of God. So some devotees, they asked Prabhupada, is that true? And Prabhupada said, well, I've also heard that theory, but the fact of the matter is that the Supreme Lord can appear anywhere. He gave the example of sandalwood, chandan. We call chandan Malayana chandan because previously chandan used to grow in the Malaya hills. But actually chandan can grow anywhere, but we still call it Malaya chandan because that's what the Malaya hills are known for. So he said similarly, Krishna can appear anywhere. It's not that he's a member of any particular family. And then Prabhupada explained that when Kamsa took charge and overthrew his father and started to drive out all of the devotees of the Lord, especially after he heard at Devaki's wedding that her son would kill him. So many of the Yadus and the other members of the dynasty, they fled their countries. They went to other places. Even Uddhava, he had to go to another country. He was living in exile until Krishna came back. So some of the Yadus, they even went so far as into other countries. And these Yadus later were, for instance, when Krishna planned and killed his entire family members by self-fratricidal war in Gujarat. So some of these family members were not present at that time. They were in other countries. And it's those, Prabhupada called them, the burnt-out remnants of the Yadu dynasty. So there were still burnt-out remnants of this family that Krishna appeared in. But it's not that they can claim that we are the descendants of Krishna's family, because Krishna, in the first four chapters of the 10th canto, Prabhupada explains, this is when Brahma went to see the Supreme Lord at Svetadvip and got the message. The message was that all of the demigods should take birth in these different Satvata, Yadu, Vrishni, Bhoja families in order to take part in his pastimes, because he would be appearing also. So we have to understand that the Supreme Lord can appear anywhere. It's not that one family has the rights that they are the descendants of the Supreme Lord. He chose this family, and he chose that all the demigods, and what's the difference between the demigods and the demons? The demigods, they follow the rules and the regulations, the principles of religion that the Supreme Lord created. And the demons reject those principles. So all of these family members in these dynasties coming from Yadu, they were demigods, they were devotees who accepted the principles of religion. So now we'll go on to text 14. Tam twadyanunam mahatam gatim gurum. Trilokya kantam drishiman mahotsavam. rupam dadanam shriya ipsati taspadam drakshye mam asan usasa sudarshana. Tum, him, to, yet, adya, today, nunam, certainly, mahatam, of great souls, gatim, the destination, gurum, and the spiritual master, trilokya, of all the three worlds, kantam, the real beauty, drishimat, for all who have eyes, maha utsavam, a great festivity, rupam, his personal form, dadanam, exhibiting, shriya, of the goddess of fortune, ipsita, the desired, aspatam, place of shelter, drakshye, I shall see, mama, my, asan, have become, ushasaha, the dawns, sudarshanaha, auspicious to me. Translation. Today I shall certainly see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is a shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. So these prayers that are being meditated within Akura's mind, he's not speaking them to anyone. Sukadeva Goswami is allowing us to understand the mood of Akura as he's coming towards Nandagaon. Now, we're very fortunate because most of us, we're residing here in Brajadham. And we can understand the places, the distances, the different animals and types of people who live here in the Dham. So you can understand that in the morning, Akura, he set out from Mathura. And if you take a car from Mathura to Nandagaon, it might take 1 hour on the good roads. But Akura was going by chariot with horses. These horses were Kamsa's horses, by the way, very well trained to perform their duties. So the horses were doing their duty, they were taking him, and Akura was completely immersed in what's called Purvarag. The raga of love has different types of development. And the first is Purvarag. And that is, if we can all remember, before any of us first came here to Vrindavan, because most of us were not born here, we experience what's called Purvarag. Oh, I'll reach the temple, and I'll see the beautiful deities, and maybe I'll be able to do some service. Maybe I can sweep the temple. Maybe I can even do some deity worship. We're meditating. What we'll be able to do before we reach Vrindavan. And our whole trip here, whether it's by train, by plane, by walking, by car, we're meditating this first trip to Vrindavan. Oh, well, finally, our whole life, we've been waiting to come here. We had to get through the family problems. We had to get through the school, all of the obstacles. And finally, we've broken free, and we're on the road. So Akura was thinking the exact same way. He was an old man by the time. He was the uncle of Krishna. Old, white beard. Finally, And not by his own volition. He didn't tell Kamsa, I want to go to see Krishna. No, Kamsa, the biggest demon who was harassing all the cows and Vaishnavas and demigods, everyone, he sent Akura. And Akura was just thinking of his good fortune. At the same time, he was afraid that I'm being sent as a messenger from the greatest demon. How will I be received by Krishna? But Krishna, as a super soul, he knows my heart. He knows that I'm his pure devotee. He knows I have love for him. So he was thinking, completely oblivious to the journey. The horses were taking care of that. He was thinking, oh, I'll be able to see the Supreme Lord. And when I see him, then it develops more and more and more. All of the different things that he wants to do upon getting darshan of the Supreme Lord. And how his life has now become successful. So now we'll go on to 16, and we've done 14. Now we'll do 15. Atha varudha sapadi shayorahat pradana punkshos charanam svalabdaye diyaditam yogi vir apyaham dhruvam namasya abhyam cha sakin vanakosa. Atha, then, avarudha, getting down, sapadi, at once, ishayo, of the two lords, ratat, from my chariot, Pradhan Punksho, of the Supreme Personalities, Charanam, to the feet, Svalabdaye, for the sake of self-realization, Diya, with their intelligence, Dhritam, held onto, Yogi B, by mystic yogis, api, even, aham, I, dhruvam, surely, namasye, will bow down, abhyam, with them, cha, also, sakin, to the friends, vana okasaha, to the residents of the forest. Translation. Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personalities of Godhead. Theirs are the same feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. I will also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of Vrindavan. So, Akura, he wanted to do this. He was thinking that first he would see the Supreme Lord and then he would bow down. That's not quite the way it happened. Because when he came close to the beautiful palatial home of Krishna and Balaram at Nandagaon, which he could see from a distance, both in Goloka Vrindavan and in Gokul, Boma Vrindavan, the center, the whirl of the entire spiritual world is Nandagaon. For instance, everyone likes to go to Barsana because that's Radharani's residence. But Radharani, she wants to live in Nandagaon because that's where Krishna lives. So Akura, he was thinking, yes, I'll bow down to the Supreme Lords. And he never separated Krishna and Balaram. They were always together, just as we find in Gauralila, when Krishnadas Kaviraj's family member tried, he only accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and because of this offense, Krishnadas Kaviraj left home and immediately came to Vrindavan. So the pure devotees, they never separate Krishna and Balaram. They worship them together, just as Srila Prabhupada has established. But what happened was, when Akrura reached the precincts of Nandagaon, he noticed, and not everyone is looking for these things, he noticed the footprints of the Supreme Lord. And as soon as he saw the footprints marked by the flag and the goat and the barley, all the things that he knew were there, he jumped off and he started to roll in the dust. Prabhupada says he groaned, actually. And he started to offer more prayers to those footprints. And Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, he says, this is actually the way we should enter the holy Dhamma of Vrindavan. We should give up all of our false conceptions of who we are, because who was Akrura? He was the commander-in-chief of the Yadus, the whole army. And he was the closest Yadu to Kamsa, who was the self-righteous king. He gave it all up. He jumped off of his chariot and started to roll in the dust of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada recommends that when we reach the precincts of Vrindavan, we should also roll in the dust of Vrindavan. And actually, we used to do that when we first came here. The devotees would stop the car at Chatikara, get out of the car, and roll in the dust. I don't know how many of you do that now. Because we've forgotten. And then Prabhupada, he explains that this is the importance of reading these shastras, so that we can learn from the saintly persons how to approach the Supreme Lord and his holy Dham and his associates. Now, here, Akrura, in this translation, he says, I will also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of Vrindavan. Now, the way Prabhupada puts this and translates it in Krishna book is, he says, I will also become one of the friends of Krishna in Vrindavan. So Akrura had his aspirations. Now, Akrura, he's a very enigmatic person in Krishna Leela. And depending upon who you ask their opinion of Akrura, you will get many different viewpoints. If you ask the Mathuravasis, they will say, Akrura is the greatest saint. He saved our entire dynasty by bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. If you ask the Brijbasis, they will say, Akrura is a cheat. He's a liar. He's the instrument of Kamsa. He ruined our life. He caused the death of all the Brijbasis. He's not Akrura. He's Krur. And we curse him. Even, now again, we're so fortunate, and all of you can go to these places. From Nandagaon, we discussed in the last class that there's a very small road called Akruragaman. Not the main roads, going to Kosi, because Kosi was the treasury, it was a main road. Nanda Maharaj had to keep all of his, for marketing purposes, he kept all of his wealth, treasury. That's why it's called Kosi, in Kosi. And then we have the road going to Barsana, because naturally, back and forth, even Radharani had to go and come every day when she was cooking, 6 months out of the year. You have the road to Jawad, many different roads. But there's a very narrow road, Akruragaman. And that narrow road, the next big town there is Kaida. Kaida is where Bakasura was killed. Kaida is the home of Upananda. That's Nanda Maharaj's brother. And in between Kaida and Nandagaon is a very small village. Probably none of you, many of you have not seen this village. Half of the year you can't get to it from the Kaida side because of the water. But this now is Falgun. There's no water. It's dried up from winter time. So if you take this road and you come to this little village, it's called Bijwadi. Now, Bijwadi, Bichor, torn apart, separated. Bijwadi is this small town where the entire pastime took place when the residents of Vrindavan tried to stop the chariot as Akura was leaving Nandagam. And it wasn't only the gopis. Of course, the gopis especially, they convinced Krishna even to get off of the chariot. And he secretly went with them to a grove there at that place to console them. And then when Akura saw that that Krishna wasn't on the chariot anymore, he stopped the chariot and he asked Balaram, he explained to Balaram, he was trying to use as a supreme diplomat, that's why Kamsa sent him, he was using Balaram to try to convince Krishna that he had to get back on the chariot. And he used two principles. One was, he used the principle of Karuna, that Balaram, your parents, they're shackled in iron. They've been tortured these past 11 years by Kamsa. All of the residents of Mathura, all of the Yadu dynasty who are hiding in different parts of the country, they're praying for Krishna to please come and kill Kamsa. Even all of the residents of Vrindavan, they're living in fear of this Kamsa. Only you can convince Krishna to get back on the chariot. And Balaram then decided to take Akura to where Krishna had gone with the gopis. He took him, but they didn't go into the grove. From a distance, Akura started to plead with Krishna, please try to understand how much your parents are suffering, how much the entire Yadu dynasty is depending upon you. But Krishna remained silent with the gopis. So then he decided, I'm going to use anger. That look and see all of the destruction that Kamsa has done, how many Vaishnavas he's killed, how many little children, how many cows. You must kill this treacherous demon. And then he put grass between his teeth, and he called out the names of each of the gopis, that please, you allow Krishna to come. I promise you, he'll come back. You let him come. Only he can kill Kamsa. You let me take him to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and then we'll bring him right back. The gopis, how did they respond? You liar! Krishna's not the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Krishna's the son of Nanda Yashoda. Krishna has nothing to do with these people. They didn't know that Krishna was brought from outside. And when Krishna heard this back and forth, the gopis speaking so harshly to Akura, he remembered, yes, due to the love of all these Brijbasis, I forgot that my parents are suffering there. I forgot how much the Yadu dynasty has been put into difficulty just because of me. This Kamsa has been torturing them. I must go. So then, out of anger, Krishna, he said, I must go. I'm coming right back. While I'm gone, you simply hear about me, chant about me, remember me, and as soon as my work is finished, I'll come back. So this place, and then when Krishna was getting back on the chariot, then the elderly gopis came, then all the animals came, everyone came because the gopis weren't successful. Everyone else came to try to stop Krishna. It was a terrible scene. Even the birds were flying in the sky, making so much noise, trying to stop Krishna. Even the wolves and the jackals came. All the animals came to try to stop Krishna because they knew without Krishna, their lives would be finished. And the gopis were accusing Akura. Now, who's going to die? If Krishna doesn't kill Kamsa, then surely Kamsa will kill Vasudeva, Devaki, and so many of the Yadavas. If Krishna leaves Vrindavan, then all of the Brijbasis will surely die of separation. Now, which set is going to die? This is when Nanda Maharaj becomes the hero. He decides that these are my friends, these are my family members, these are my relatives who live in Mathura. Krishna has been with us for 11 years now. If Krishna doesn't go to kill Kamsa, everyone will simply suffer more and more and more. I must allow him to go to Mathura. So finally, Nanda Maharaj, the great hero, he convinced Mother Yasoda and all of the elderlies, and Mother Yasoda then convinced the gopis that we must allow Krishna to go because there are family members and they've been suffering because of Kamsa, and only Krishna can kill Kamsa. So at this point, Nanda Maharaj then got on his carts. Akrura sat with Krishna and Balaram, and this time he held Krishna from the back to make sure he was, because Krishna was, he was still not sure whether he wanted to go or not. Seeing the agony of the Brijbasis and understanding the situation in Mathura, he was still being pulled back and forth. So Akrura this time hold him, first of all so that he wouldn't faint, and second of all so he couldn't escape again. And then they continued onwards till they finally reached to Akrura Tirtha or Brahmagat, Brahmahrad. So Akrura, he's hoping that he can actually offer his obeisances to the cowherd boyfriends and all the other residents of Vrindavan. But they're seeing Akrura as their greatest enemy, who's going to end their life. So it's a great dichotomy. Akrura wants to be loved, but it's actually Akrura who's going to destroy the entire paradise of Braja. And they're accusing him of that. Therefore, the curse was there. Now we go on to 16. Apyangri mule patitasya me vibhu. Shirasya dhasya nija hasta pankajam. Tathabhyam kala bhujanga ramhasa. Prodve jitanam saran aisinam rinam. Api, furthermore, angri, of his feet, mule, at the base, patitasya, who have fallen, me, of me, Vibhu, the Almighty Lord, Shirasi, upon the head, Adhasyat, will place Nija, his own, Hasta, hand, Pankajam, lotus-like, Datta, which grants Abhayam, fearlessness, kala, time, bhuja anga, of the serpent, ramhasa, by the swift force, prod vejitanam, who is greatly disturbed, sharana, shelter, esinam, searching for, Nrinam, two persons. Translation. And when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time. That hand removes all fear. So generally 16 and 17 they're very much related, because here Akura, he's describing the wonderful quality of Krishna's lotus hand, that for those who seek shelter in him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. Now, the words here, kala bhujanga, it's translated here as the powerful serpent of time. So this bhujanga, that's a serpent. And it's described also that not only time, because this serpent of time, time is where we're caught in the binding of time, because due to our past sinful and pious activities, we're forced to take birth in many different species, and it's practically to get out of this chain of karma being driven by the force of time until we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there's a stage before that full surrender, and that is, most of us have experienced that, and that is when we pray to the Lord for liberation from all of our sufferings. We're bound up in different families, in different situations, and we're praying just to get out so that we can take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So sometimes not only this great serpent of time holds us back from surrendering, but the serpent-like desire for liberation always also keeps us from fully surrendering to the Supreme Lord. And that we can see. Sometimes you'll see people coming here to Braj. They're so happy here in Braj. They're chanting, they're going on parikrama, they're doing all the things they wanted to do. They don't have to worry about their family, they left them someplace and whatever. But they're not ready yet to take that step into devotional service. Now, this is what Prabhupada taught us. We're not here for enjoyment, this stage of liberation, this serpent that keeps us tightly from taking part in devotional service. We are here to serve the Supreme Lord. And in the earlier cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is described that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were so busy in their service, taking care of the cows, all the agricultural service that they had, their family, everything, all within Braj, they didn't have time to meditate, to do all the different types of yajnas. They were so busy in service. So this is the perfection of life, when we become so enraptured in Krishna's devotional service, we don't even care about liberation. The gopis, they considered poison to be nectar, nectar to be poison, the forest to be their home, their homes to be like a wilderness, their friends to be their enemies to be their friends. Because wherever they could serve Krishna, that was their home, and they could only meet him in the forest. And their homes, the homes were like a barren wilderness to them, because Krishna wasn't there. When Krishna was leaving, all the pleasures of life were like poison to them. They didn't care about enjoying life. And for them, poison became like nectar, because if they could drink poison, then quickly they would die instead of suffering the separation from Krishna. Now, in the aspects of raga, for instance, Akrura, he's in Dasyaras. He's a servant of the Supreme Lord. But as he comes closer and closer to the precincts of Braja, his affection is aroused. His attraction to the Supreme Lord is aroused more and more, to the point where when he finally reaches Nandagaon, where Krishna and Balaram live, all of the symptoms of ecstatic love automatically manifest within his body. His hair stand on end, he's falling on the ground, he gets all choked up, rolling, covering himself in dust. From a simple servant, in a very respectful, adoring mood, he becomes someone completely overcome by ecstatic love. Similarly, Krishna, again, we have to come back. We're so fortunate we have these places of pastimes. Krishna was one day sitting in a very special place between Barsana and Nandagaon. That place is called Prem Sarovara. Now, just as in that little village, Bijwari, there's a kund there. That kund is called Nayana Kund, because when Krishna did leave on the chariot, all of the gopis, all of the residents of Vrindavan, they cried so much they filled up the whole kund with their tears. Now, this place, Prem Sarovara, Radha and Krishna, they were together, Milan. There's Vihar and there's Viraha. There's enjoying together and then there's separation. The enjoying together, we've heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt. If we have Chir Milan, that is the beginning of the end of our love, to always be with our lover. Krishna understands this in the science of love. So while Radha and Krishna were sitting together at Prem Sarovara, surrounded by the gopis, and Maru Manga was there, a bumblebee came. And because Radharani's feet are so sweet, we'll read in the next sloka about the sweet fragrance of the face of the gopis' bodies, especially Radharani. So this bumblebee, he wanted to taste that nectar, that sweet nectar coming from her feet. He was flying around her lotus face. She was trying to get the bumblebee away, and Krishna told Maru Manga, get rid of this bee. So Maru Manga, with his stick, he was chasing the bee away, and then he came back and he said, Madhusudan is gone, because here there are different names for the different types of bees. There's the Bringa, there's the Bomara, so many Brahmara. So one of the names of the bees is Madhusudan, Madhu, sweet, the honey. So Maru Manga came back and he said, Madhusudan is gone. He won't come back again. Now Radharani was sitting right in the lap of Krishna, and when she heard that Madhusudan was gone, she felt intense separation from Krishna. She went into a swoon and started to cry. She thought that Krishna had left when she heard Madhusudan is gone, though she was sitting right with him. And then when Krishna saw that Radharani had, in her, though right there, she was experiencing a separation and she was losing consciousness in fear of losing Krishna, he also started to cry. And their tears created the Prem Sarovara. Now, after this happened, Krishna realized that I've never seen Radharani in this state before, that she completely loses. She didn't even know that I was sitting next to her out of fear of separation from me. He said, I have to increase this. This was when Krishna decided that he was going to leave Vrindavan. Now, in the Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna leaves, he goes and kills Kamsa, and then he comes right back. In the Boma Lila, everyone thinks he leaves. He leaves, but Krishna, Shyamasundar, he doesn't leave. And that is the importance of that pastime at Brahma Radha. Because there, Krishna, he's sitting on the chariot, Akura goes to take his bath in the Jamuna, and he sees Krishna and Balaram in the water. And then he gets out, and he looks, and he sees Krishna and Balaram are there on the chariot. Then he gets back in the water and he sees that Krishna and Balaram have become Anantashesha and Vasudev. And all the demigods are worshiping them. So this is the boundary. Krishna and Balaram never leave Vrindavan. They stay here in their unmanifest, aprakrit, bhava form, in the hearts of the devotees. Because when you miss someone, you keep that person in your heart. So Krishna was then manifest within the hearts of all of the residents of Vrindavan. And Vasudev and Shankarshan proceeded with the Krura to take part in the pastimes in Mathura, which comprises 11 chapters, and then in Dwarka, which comprises 39 chapters. Now, one may ask, because we know that when Krishna transferred from Mathura to Dwarka, he took all of the residents of Mathura and transferred them overnight, as if in a dream, to Dwarka. Now, why didn't Krishna do that to the Brijbasis? Why didn't he just take them all with him to Mathura? Impossible. Because in Mathura, the mood is Aishwarya. And in Vrindavan, the mood is Madhurya. And if the inhabitants of Vrindavan were to see the way Krishna was being worshipped in Mathura, they would lose all of their Madhurya love for Krishna, their sweet love for Krishna. He kept them very safely within the precincts of Braja because he was coming back. He wanted to come back. He used to cry with Balaram, "When will we go back to the lap of Mother Yasoda?" So Krishna wanted to keep all of the residents of Vrindavan safely in Vrindavan so he could come back as soon as his work was finished. So we have one more sloka. Text 17. Samarhanam yatra nidaya koshikas Tatha balischapa jagatrayendratam Yadva vihare rajayoshitam shramam Sparsena sogandika gandhya panudat Samarhanam, the respectful offering, yatra, into which, nidhaya, by placing, koshikaha, purandara, tatha, as well as, Bali, Bali Maharaj, cha, also, apa, attained, jagat, of the worlds, traya, three, Indratam, rulership, as Indra, the king of heaven, yat, which, lotus hand of the Lord, va, and, vihare, during the pastimes of the rasa dance, Braja Yoshitam, of the ladies of Braj, Shramam, the fatigue, Sparshena, by their contact, Sogandika, like an aromatic flower, Gandhi, fragrant, Apanudat, wiped away. Translation. By offering charity to that lotus hand, Purandara and Bali earned the status of Indra, king of heaven. And during the pleasure pastime of the rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. Purport. The Puranas call the lotus found in the Manasa Sarovara lake a Sogandika. Lord Krishna's lotus hand acquired the fragrance of this flower by coming in contact with the beautiful faces of the gopis. This specific incident, which occurred during the Rasa Leela, is described in the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto. So there are many points in this sloka. It's very important. We know that in the day of Lord Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And we are now in the 7th Manu. His name is Vaivasvata, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the son of Vivasvan, Shraddhadev. And within each day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And each Manu oversees 71 Yugas, the Yuga cycles. So the Manu now, Vaivasvata Manu, each Manu, there are assigned different demigods, and Indra, he changes each time there's a change in Manu. So the present Indra, here he's mentioned as Kosika, and then he's also mentioned as Purandara. So Kosika, he was the son of Kusika Rishi. Now, Kusika Rishi, Kosika, is also Vishwamitra Muni, and he is considered the Indra amongst the sages. And then Purandara, who's in the seventh reign, the seventh yuga within the reign of Manu, when the eighth reign starts, the Supreme Lord appears as his incarnation called Sarvabhauma. And he takes the heavenly planets, the position of Indra from Purandara, and gives it to Bali. And that's why Bali became Indra. Because Bali, this Vamana Dev, through this incarnation of Sarvabhauma, Bali was then installed as Indra. So this offering of charity by Indra, Indra, though he changes, Indra, he offers charity. For instance, Indra, who we read about in Srimad Bhagavatam that we study, when he killed Dhritarashtra because he understood he was a Brahmin, he had done Brahmin Hatya, and the reaction to that sin was chasing him, he ran to the place where Lakshmi Devi resides, which is this Manasa Sarovara. It's where Kuvera lives. There's a beautiful forest there that's protected by the Guyas and the Rakshasas. And there is this gorgeous lake called Manasa Sarovara. And this is where these special flowers called Sogandika bloom. So he ran there because Lakshmi Devi lives within those lotuses. And he worshipped Vishnu for thousands of years, making offerings to Vishnu, and then he was freed of that sin. When Draupadi received the beautiful thousand-petaled lotus, and she asked Bhima to get him more lotuses so she can offer them to Vishnu, and to Yudhisthira and to Vishnu, Bhima went traveling in the heavenly spheres. Arjuna wasn't there then. He met Hanuman, and Hanuman directed him to this Manasa Sarovara, and Bhima got these beautiful flowers and brought them back. Now here also, just on the other side of Vrindavan, the Jamuna River, we have the Manasa Sarovara in Shrivan, and that's also where Lakshmi Devi lives. She's performing so many austerities to enter into the pastimes of Krishna here in Braj, but she's not allowed to. So these beautiful lotus flowers, they have a scent that's so ambrosial, so heavenly. Now, in some places, for instance here, it's stated that by Krishna's wiping the perspiration, because the gopis were shrama, they were dancing and singing, and they were sweat perspiring because of all the fatigue. And then Krishna wiped his hand on their face to relieve them of their fatigue. Krishna's hand received that beautiful fragrance from the gopis' faces because their faces were so fragrant. And Prabhupada, he turns it around in the Krishna book that when Krishna put his hand on their faces to wipe away their pearls of perspiration, from the fragrance of his hand, the gopis received that wonderful fragrance. So either way, in any case, this Sogandhika flower, it's the most fragrant, and the description of it come up again and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna's hand has that beautiful fragrance. And by offering anything into that the hand of the Lord and getting the benediction of that Supreme Lord's hand, this is what Akura was praying for, that he could also be benedicted. And Krishna will certainly put that fragrant hand on his head when Akura meets him for the first time. So if there are any questions, we have 1 or 2 minutes. Thank you very much. Yes, Mataji. Why didn't they choose to go there?
Why didn't they choose to go? And was that controlled by Krishna?
Well, first of all, Krishna promised them that he would come back. So all of the residents of Vrindavan were just like a string. Because Krishna promised he would come back, they all wanted to stay here for when he came back. Just like when the gopis did go to Kurukshetra, they weren't interested seeing Krishna dressed up like a prince. They just wanted to pull him back to Vrindavan. Because the special mood of Braja is that sweetness. They weren't interested in Krishna as a prince, as a king, as a warrior and a charioteer. No, they only wanted him in Vrindavan. That's why they didn't go. They were just waiting for him to come back.
But then he never came for so long. So long.
Well, that's in the Boma Leela. In the Goloka Leela, he just goes, and then the next day he comes back with Nanda Maharaj.
So I was just wondering for the Boma Leela, if that's the only one I'm questioning, that how come they did not go when he never came back?
Because they were waiting for him to come back. Just waiting. He said he would come back. And if we die, then when he comes back, we won't be here. So we want to make sure we're here when he comes back. That's why they didn't die. Well, he's in Dasyarasa, but he experienced ecstatic emotions when he entered Vrindavan and finally when he was able to come in direct contact with the Supreme Lord. Every rasa can experience ecstatic emotions. The rivers, they experience ecstatic emotion, and the stones, they melt. So whatever rasa we have, there are different ecstatic emotions that can be experienced. So he was experienced the summum bonum that a servant can experience by directly coming in contact with Krishna. Well, this was discussed by Uddhava. He said that Uddhava, he was speaking about Akrura. He said that he was such an old man, and he was all caught up in his knowledge. And because he did this terrible thing of removing Krishna from Braja, he couldn't understand Brajarasa. He couldn't understand the mood of the Brijbasis, and therefore he was willing to tear Krishna out of Braj. So he could not understand. Whereas Uddhava, he tried his best, and therefore he wanted to become just a clump of grass here so that he could just get the dust of the residents of Vrindavan. But Akura was not able to come to that level. Remember, he was cursed by the Brijbasis. Yes, Prabhu.
We understand that the process of devotion wants us to remember Krishna all the time. And then we also understand that feeling of separation.
That's why Lord Chaitanya made his appearance, to help us understand that. Because Lord Chaitanya showed us how, in the mood of separation, we perform our devotional service. So that was his whole purpose of appearing, to manifest this mood of separation, and how the six Goswamis, always in the mood of separation, never saying, "I've seen the Supreme Lord." They're always searching for him in that mood of separation. So this is the mood. This is why Prabhupada said it's so important to read. This mood of separation is the topmost, pinnacle experience of love, because then the Lord is filling our hearts. Because we can't see him externally, so we keep him within our heart. And this is Lord Chaitanya. All of his pastimes, the last years of his residence in Puri, were manifesting that mood of separation. And still, he was going through his daily activities, but sometimes he couldn't help himself. He would escape in the middle of the night and take the form of a turtle and elongate his body, you know, all of these aspects of intense separation from the Supreme Lord. That no one can imitate those things, but we can at least understand what separation from the Lord does to a person by observing and reading about the manifestations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love. That's why what can we understand? We were dogs and cats and lizards in our last life. You know, just by Prabhupada's mercy, we're sitting here today. So we just have to study all these books very carefully, word for word. And then maybe we'll get some glimpse of what it means to love Krishna. Prabhupada served in separation. He would rather be on the battlefield than sitting here in Vrindavan. So even while he couldn't move, he still went out to preach. He would rather serve in separation than rot here in Vrindavan, he said. Okay. You want to continue or should we stop? There are a few more questions. There are more questions in the back. I don't want to stop the devotees from taking prasadam. It's very important. Yeah, the devotees condemn that.
And Shankara would also say that we should perform our service with the spirit of enjoying the service. So how can
you can show me where he said it, okay? Because according to Nectar Devotion, for instance, when Raktak was fanning Krishna, and he started to get ecstatic emotions, he cursed himself. No, 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 I just want a fan. I don't want all these ecstatic emotions. So if you can show me where Prabhupada said that, then I'll believe you.
Mahaji, my question is related to Ram Lila, if I may ask that question.
Is it related to this class?
Actually, not.
Okay, then we can discuss it after class then. Okay. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.